The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome ashore. My name is Justin McElroy. I'm my brother, me, this one.
Ahoy there. I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
Your sweet baby brother, 3030 Luminary Griffin McElroy.
Land ho.
Boy, our smoothest, like, name saying, I think, to date.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm back on shore. On land, I guess. I don't know how to think of it anymore. I used to think of myself as at sea, but then I think of this as at land now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I live on
totally.
The ocean.
You've surfed and now you're turfing.
I'm both surf and turf simultaneously.
Wait, at the same time?
Yeah, I'm a delicious pricey dish.
So how's our opener going so far?
Not good,
no,
I think.
But listen, oh God, it's happening again.
Okay, so walk us through what's happening right now in your, I guess, inner ear zone.
I've been on the Joko cruise for the past week. Just got back last night. It was a fun conflation of things. First off, there's a 3-hour time difference. We had a 2-hour time difference. So it was like 2 hours before Eastern Standard Time for most of the cruise. And then right when the last day, we got back to San Diego and it was PST. So it was 3 hours difference. And then we flew back from PST and lost 3 hours that way. And then that night it was daylight savings time.
Up another hour.
For Justin,
so
it's
now
Thursday.
I'm beyond the construct of time. I am in all times.
Beyond time and like stationary like land, what that feels like under your knees.
You're Matthew McConaughey and whatever that alien movie was that I've already forgotten the
it's,
title.
It's, whoa, shit. It's also not a joke that after you've been on a big cruise ship for a week and then you come home, your house feels like it's moving sometimes. That's especially noticeable. Like, it's important to stay moving around because it becomes much more noticeable when you, let's say, sit stationary and stare at a screen and a microphone for an hour.
Justin, is this something we are going to be getting, let's say, recurring updates on throughout the course of recording this episode?
I don't feel like they'll be especially funny, so I'll try to keep them to a minimum. But if I stop mid-sentence, it's because my computer is falling through my desk and the world is turning upside down.
Can you? This is not fun, though. I want to hear about this sort of new oceanic mastery that you have fucking now that you went down Periscope for a while and you got out there on that big, big blue, beautiful boy that we call the ocean. And like what you learned out there, just sort of some nautical secrets and just like some lessons that you learned from your new wife, the ocean.
I will tell you this one nautical secret. Myself and Max Temkin of Cards Against Humanity learned this week. If you start asking about the brig a lot, you are going to start getting some huffiness. We just want to see where the brig was, because there's a brig for sure, right? Like, there's got to be a brig.
Yeah,
there's a boat jail, and I just want to see the boat jail once. And gotta
Justin,
be.
How many Jimmy Buffett songs are there about boat jail?
There's no boat jail songs, which is
boat
amazing.
Boat jail. Boys in the band go to boat jail. All of my boys did some sea crime. Now they're in lockup. That's that one. Justin, you with us?
That one. I'm here. I had another one. I had a big, good boy. Boy.
Jamie, did you get to steer at all?
They sell captain's hat. They sell captain's hats in the gift shop.
All right.
I have to talk about the gift shop. Listen, I'm going to talk about the gift shop. For one, this gift shop sold a lot of watches and crystals. And there were signs.
Crystals, huh?
because all us nerds were on the cruise, there were signs like, be like the doctor and control space and time and buy one of these watches. Oh. And it almost worked. And then they start, that's not how it works. Then they start showing
Dr. Who. If I buy a stethoscope and a thermometer, I'm not controlling medicine.
You're right. And then they start showing Dr. Who in the gift shop, which is pretty good.
That's good stuff.
I'll kick it in there.
We've got to go back in time. Let me touch me magic watch. Zoop, zoop, zoop. It's 1884. Thanks, magic watch. You're welcome, doctor. Beepo, beepo. This is my magic watch, beepo.
The another thing I have to mention about the gift shop is that it was showing Doctor Who 24 hours a day, and there are people who worked there that were just like, I guess, just on a binge, man, just like trucking their way through the tenant years. I had diarrhea.
All right.
I obviously had diarrhea. And at one point, the hemorrhoids pretty bad, started flaring up pretty bad.
All right.
And I kicked it on down to the gift shop. This gift shop will sell you a tray of delicious imported rum-flavored chocolate turtles with sea salt on them for $10 in a box.
Okay.
And for the world's smallest tube of Preparation H, it costs $17.95.
All right, J-Dog, but you got to understand.
They know their market.
Yeah, they have you over an ocean-sized barrel. What are you going to do? Get fucking medevaced for your butthole?
That barrel is comically labeled diarrhea, like in an old political cartoon.
Yeah, and
they do have a medical center, so I could have kicked it. Oh,
here we go.
I could have kicked it down there and just been like, you know, look at me. you know what's up.
I think they should just like you walk in the door and they shoot you in the mouth with a Pepto gun. They just know. And you just walk in and there's just like a mouth level tray with Pepto on it that you can just sort of consume and be out at the door in 3 seconds.
You should just walk into your hotel room and in your like stateroom and there's a towel folded like a monkey and it's holding a tube of Preparation H for you.
How did you know about the towels folded like monkeys?
Because I know things. Man. I actually know it from John Hodgman's, I think it's More Information Than You Require, or it might be That Is All. He talks about going on a cruise and about the different animal shapes and what they mean.
Also suffers. I never knew that Mr. Hodgman also suffered from that very bad butt affliction.
He does not talk about Preparation H. He actually
no, because he has more fucking decorum than the three of us, like orangutans, just like shouting about
what
our
I was
shit
going to say
episode.
Before Griffin interrupted me was that the H stands for Hodgman.
Oh,
I see. He is the inventor of Preparation H, but I didn't get there.
The problem with me going on a cruise and not getting to record this show for a week is I have so much to talk about and I didn't get to last week. So I'm sorry that we have like a bunch of different intros but I have other things I need to cover if you guys can just hang with me.
Yeah, sure, hit it.
Two more big bullet points. The first came yesterday when I was going back through security to get on to the plane in San Diego. And as I was about to go through the backscatter machine, is that what it's called? Anyway, I was about to go through the backscatter machine and you know they got the metal detector next to it if you don't want to do the backscatter thing. As I was about to go through the backscatter machine, I see a security guard point at the person behind me. He looks at her and says, "You got any metal in your body?"
All right.
And she's like, "What?" He says, "Do you have any metal in your body?" And it becomes clear fairly quickly that English is not this woman's first language. And English is my first language. And even I was a little bit like,
challenged.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
What? Can you just say what I want you to say with my heart, which is, are you a cyber grandma? Can you tell me if you are part cyborg, part robot, part woman, all grandma, all cyborg?
You Grandma Logan? You Grandma Logan?
This has nothing to do with my job. I just, it's a fascination of mine, and you look like you might have some cyber components.
Do you have cyber components? Are you enhanced with cyber components?
Are you more machine than human at this point? All right, go on through.
This is really the main thing I wanted to talk about. Yesterday, I was driving back and was watching Trolls. on the in the car.
Yeah.
And Riley, my sister-in-law, told me, I learned something by watching the credits of this movie. Did you know that pretty much all the people who have like one line in this movie are all well-known YouTubers?
Oh, fuck me.
And they did that because, you know, so it's like kind of cool marketing. It's a smart marketing.
Yeah, really cool.
So then as I'm driving, I like, things don't come to me this hard, but it was like, I finally understood the secret. You know what I mean? Like, I finally got visual after joking about it for a long time. I finally understood the power of visualization because I could see the path to the thing I'm about to say so clearly.
Okay.
In April 2020, the three of us are going to be in Trolls 2.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying now.
All right.
March 2017.
We do really want to put
we
out
have
there that
3 years. I'm putting out into the universe that the three of us will be in. I want to say are, but I feel like that is actually not visualization. It's just tense confusion. So I'm going to say will be in April 2020. And this is a sort of narrow casting for a second to our agent, Joel. Joel, Trolls 2, April 2020. I don't care if it's all three of us or nothing. Two, I don't care if it's one word said simultaneously.
Yeah, we all sound the same. Two. No one will notice.
Yeah,
we're so in Trolls 2, Joel.
The main troll, Bimbo, turns to their friend Charlotte and says, "Who are those clowns?" and turns to us three. And we all are trolls of different shapes and sizes, and we're just like, bazinga!
Yep.
While my brothers are having a great time with their ignorance of the Trolls franchise, I will also come in and do like some story punch-ups.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I haven't seen
it. I've seen that movie quite a few fucking times. And I will just, not to say the first one needed punch-up, although there was some thematic elements that I felt like could have been clarified.
Okay.
Like the parallels to drug addiction were like there, but I felt like weren't pronounced enough.
Yeah.
Could have been hit a little bit harder, so I'm happy to do that work for you. But we will be in Trolls 2 in April 2020, all three McElroy brothers. Add it to IMDb if you want, but we will be in Trolls 2 in April 2020. Get me Jeffrey Katz on the phone. Get me whoever I need to talk to. Justin Timms, Anna Kinkin, whoever. We're going to be in Trolls 2.
I'm excited, man. I'm psyched out of my mind. I wish maybe we hadn't talked so much gay about, you know, oh, are you gone again?
We didn't talk any yay about it. We pretended to be excited about it. Now, after I've seen it 30 times, I'm really excited about it.
It was real to me, damn it. Can we do questions?
Can I tell? Okay, as long as we're saying that things that happened in the last 2 weeks, because we missed an episode, we have 1,500 new emails.
Good Lord, everybody. Okay.
And so I was able to kind of build a bit of a theme for this episode.
Really exciting. Okay, yeah, I'm reading some of the questions now, and I can kind of, okay, this is fun, Trav, what you've made for us. Let's get started.
When I was out buying
read the fucking the do it thing. Yes,
hey, listen, I'm trying to just hang in there, okay?
Justin's trying to read this from the sunken place. He's having a hard time.
I'm back from the upside
Justin's
down, everyone.
Justin's in the sunless sea.
When I was out buying special edition ketchup Doritos, a guy in the convenience store stopped me, told me I was beautiful, and told me he couldn't let me go without giving me something. He hands me a piece of paper, and I think he's giving me his number. It's a coupon for a Whopper.
It's a coupon for a Whopper.
Do you know what this means? Is this how kids flirt? That's from Confused Canuck.
There's a lot. There's a lot here, huh? There's a lot to sort
just
of unpack. There's a lot of runes and glyphs that we need to sort of decipher, I think.
Yeah. Need a codex.
Need a codex for this. So you're going to get the ketchup Doritos. And like at this point, you're lucky that we continued to read the remainder of the question.
Right. Is that a Canadian exclusive? I haven't seen those on shelves.
There's a lot of, probably. Although ketchup's not really there. Forte, like their sort of specialty is like gravy and cheese on fries.
Yeah, but that's what makes it. That's what
Exotic. That's what
makes it exotic. Yeah. Exactly, right.
Exotic. I don't think
they are. It's imported from Canada.
Interesting. Sure. I don't think you can call.
I mean, it's not imported from Canada if you're in Canada. It's sure. Fair.
I don't think you can call them the ketchup Doritos special edition. I think it's just edition. I don't think there's anything especially special about ketchup flavored Doritos.
My favorite part about this whole question is imagining that this convenience store worker needed this Whopper coupon. Like, this was going to be, this was what his whole plan for lunch was like. I've been saving this coupon, and I'm going to treat myself to a free Whopper, because the most delicious Whopper is a free Whopper.
I see.
But then... This
is like when Christ went to the temple, and somebody was like, here's a buck. I have $1,000,000, but here's one. And then the other person was like, I only have $1, but here's my $1. And it was like, that's 100% of your bucks. So this is 100% of the Whopper coupons this person had, and they were very excited about it. And so this gift was such a huge sacrifice that it means a lot to them.
And this is serendipity too, because his number is written on the coupon, but what you need to do is take that coupon, get that Whopper, and then if that coupon comes back to you.
There it is, serendipity too.
I can officially declare that coupons are basically a curse.
Oh.
If you hand someone a coupon, you've basically cursed them. Because what this means is, like, now you have to, just using this as an example, but it applies to all coupons. Here's a coupon. Now you have to go to this place and buy something you weren't planning on, or feel like you're throwing away money. And one of those two things has to happen. The only way to free yourself from a coupon is after it expires. You can be like, ah, the money disappeared. Now I can throw this away with a clean conscience. But until then, it's a curse. Coupons are basically a curse.
If coupons are a curse, then the Bed Bath & Beyond near my house is low-key the Baba Yaga.
The coupon's expired. It's not, but it says it never. Free me from this curse,
please. Because it looks like money. It looks like fun burger money. You know what I mean? It's got like the big, like, free, and then there's big in big letters, and it's like, get a free sandwich or whatever. And you feel like you're throwing away money when you throw away a coupon. Because, like, man, I could have used that for a free sandwich. But in order to redeem it, you have to go through so many hoops. And nobody remembers. How many times? The worst part of the coupon experience is when you go to Burger King and you forget. And then as you're opening your wallet to put your receipt in, because you save all your Burger King receipts because you're nasty.
For taxes.
You see in there the Burger King coupon. You're like, oh, no.
Shit.
Not like this.
All I can picture too is that walk up to the counter. I would like one Whopper, please. Would you like the No, just the burger. All right, that'll be like $1, I guess. No, it will not.
Well, not today.
Take this piece of garbage and give me that burger.
I have a Yahoo transition that's really good here. That's going to stay on theme, Travis. I'm very excited. Perfect. It was sent in by Amelia Burger. The question's not about food, but it's asked by PP Slap. And this is actually Yahoo Answers Now, yes. It's Yahoo Answers Now, which I'm still unsure what the distinction is between Yahoo Answers and Yahoo Answers Now, which is like, how's your branding? Because I use this motherfucker every single week of my life. But anyway, this Yahoo Answers Now from PP
Slap. I like that too, because it's like, Yahoo Answers Now. Don't think about it. You're thinking too much. That's been the problem with Yahoo Answers, is people contemplating too long.
Just shoot from the hip. This is a Rorschach test. PP Slap asks, in card
games. It's an app. It's a mobile app.
Oh, okay. I see.
That's your answer.
For when you really need Yahoo Answers on the go.
How many times am I going to say PP Slap? Because we keep getting interrupted.
Let's find out.
PP Slap asks, how do you tell someone they are bad at Yu-Gi-Oh? No additional details, but this is great. It's a really, like, here's the thing. Jeremy, you've spent $3,000 on these cool cards, but you just can't seem to beat anybody at the game, and you need to stop. This is the sunk cost fallacy. You're hoping you're going to get the card or cards you need to put a winning Yu-Gi-Oh game together. And my friend, if it hasn't happened yet, I just don't believe it's going to happen.
Listen, kid, you just don't have the spark.
You don't have the spark. Yugi had the spark.
You don't have what it takes to go pro.
You just don't have it. If you don't have the Blue Eyes White Dragon, it's the only Yu-Gi-Oh shit I know, and I'm gonna reference it about 10 more times.
Here's the thing. Here's what they don't tell you in Yu-Gi-Oh school. It's okay to not go pro. Not everyone's gonna go pro.
Yeah.
You can have another job and just do Yu-Gi-Oh for fun. Do it on the amateur level just because you love it. You know what I mean? You don't have to like commit. You don't have to say like, no, I'm going to quit the accounting firm and just Yu-Gi-Oh full time.
Now,
you know
I will say in the Yu-Gi-Oh anime, I'm pretty sure the protagonist had to win certain games or else his grandpa would die. And in those games, it was actually very important that he do well in the game. And like winning isn't everything unless your grandpa's soul is on the line, in which case I do actually think you need to pull out a W on this one, Mr. Yu-Gi-Oh.
Do you think that's what everybody in the Yu-Gi-Oh universe was playing for? Like your grandfather too? Yeah, my girl. Your grandfather? Did they take all of our grandpas? Is somebody just holding all of our grandpas hostage?
I feel like the person who wrote this question is on the wrong end of a pretty bad grift. And it's a hustle. And what I think is that their friend has been following their Yahoo Answers account waiting for this exact moment.
Okay.
There's a very different version of this where, like, we see over the shoulder the friend type, like, how do I tell my friend that he's not? And then the friend, like, turns around because he's been watching the whole time. And he's like, finally, the trap is set. Finally, it's time to spring it on him. And then the next time they play, he's like, listen, I know you've been thinking and asking on Yahoo Answers a lot lately about how I should get out of the game. Mm. And I feel like maybe if you beat me this time, yes, I'll stop playing. And just to make it like even sillier, if I beat you, you give me
your grandpa's soul.
Give me your grandpa's soul. Like, I get your grandpa. No big deal. Because like, he's like, I'm so bad, right?
And it's like, all right, Jeremy, time to put you out of your misery. And he's like, Blue Eyes, White Dragon. Blow. And you lose, I guess. I mean, I didn't watch that much of the show, but I'm pretty sure there's one card called Blue Eyes White Dragon that's just the best card.
Blue Eyes White Dragon can't lose.
Oh, God. Man, that joke requires you to understand so many different pieces of media. Yeah.
This actually might be the only podcast in which that joke lands.
It also had the trademark McRoy so excited to get to make the joke tone of voice that always makes me so happy.
Yeah, this would be like Saturday morning JCC tables. and it's just like you go and you play in some low-level Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments, but Coach Eric Taylor is there. And Tammy's there too. Maybe in this one, Tammy's like the fucking... Coach Eric Taylor can handle all the football stuff. Tammy's at the fucking Yu-Gi-Oh table, like bringing the... She needs to blow off some steam because Julie's putting her through the fucking ringer again for no reason at all. She's just trying to do her best as a mom living here in this small Texas town. She goes to the JCC and blows off some steam at the fucking tables and just like drops that Blue Eyes White Dragon.
This is
Can
actually
you
a
just
fact.
Like imagine like Coach Taylor's like enjoying a nice meal at Applebee's and he like turns behind him and says, "Hey, saw you boys playing Yu-Gi-Oh. You got something raw I can mold. Come join my team."
In Friday Night Lights, anytime you do not see a character on screen,
yes,
they are playing Yu-Gi-Oh!
You know Landry's in it. You know Landry's deep in that shit.
How did he keep his sanity when he was in the hospital? Yeah, you guessed it.
Yeah.
He was playing Yu-Gi-Oh! The entire time.
With himself, honing like a chess master.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so... I don't think we need to tell them how to tell them they're bad at Yu-Gi. Just tell them
yourself. I found out this evening that my little sister eats soup with a fork. She eats all the vegetables and meat and just leaves the broth.
Okay.
What should I do? That's from Sad Soup Sibling. Fine, let's get into it.
Yeah, you're just treating this soup like a sort of shabu-shabu pot, where it's just like, you don't drink the broth. The broth is what cooks the stuff. No, the broth is where the money is.
Yeah, it feels like if you're doing this, you don't understand. Like somebody spilled liquid on this meat and vegetables.
Yeah, what do you do when you get a fucking nice like tomato basil soup and you like somebody sets it down in front of you? You're like, somebody already finished this soup because there's nothing in it.
When you guys make a soup at home, do you get really paranoid and very particular when you're ladling your soup out into your bowl to make sure to leave the future iteration for yourself a very good stuffings to soup ratio. I try to be very careful about that.
I don't do much self-souping, to be honest. It's usually something that other people prepare for me.
I don't have that kind of budget.
you don't have your own saucier? My problem is that I will, I always overbit the soup. There's not enough broth, too many bits. And what you end up with is like a suggestion of broth in a pile of bits.
That's not soup. That's just a hot pile.
Yeah, then you just add a pile with some sauce.
I would always prefer, I dump out the broth of my ramen. I want it to, I add the seasoning packet. So it's like highly concentrated, just the nudes, ma'am. Not nudes.
Yeah, that was a rough one, Juice.
Let me try again. Like noodles, not nudes.
No, I know. Noodles, but the way you said it came out really stinked.
It was got into a Dragnet thing that's not a point of reference for me that I'm really sorry about. But I like the chunkins. I don't really need the broth. I brought my own drink, thanks. I'm just going to enjoy. I'm actually kind of into this. The only problem I have with the fork is I think it would be hard bite composition to get the right bite composition. Like a spoon is much better for that, I think.
A slotted spoon would be perfect, it sounds like, for your sort of bad.
A small slotted spoon would be so choice.
First of all, I want to say I'm very disappointed in you for not eating your ramen in the Japanese style.
Hey, Griff, do you want to be rich?
Yeah, sure.
Can you make some small slotted spoons and trademark that? Because I think that's a very good idea.
Wait, you're talking
said it? That's a TM, right? That's a TM?
I guess TM.
I think you could have something there.
But I don't want to have invented this because it kind of goes against everything I'm against, which is just like, I think broth is very, very good and you drink it on a cold day and your lungs feel good.
Oh,
are you gone?
Yeah. No, it's good. I'm thinking.
You were having a good broth memory. I thought you were going to the deep place.
No, I haven't. I think it's starting to wear off.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I'm getting there. Enough coffee and stuff.
I'm afraid it'll go too far the other way, Justin, and you'll just be like super present all of a sudden. You'll be operating like Lawnmower Man-esque levels of understanding.
You're going to be like fucking Superman powered by our yellow sun without that Krypton gravity or whatever.
I feel like this, for me, part of it also depends on the broth. If it's a tomatoey soup, I don't normally go in for like drinking that. Like a chickeny kind of broth, I definitely could just drink that straight.
Okay, I'm glad we fucking settled that. I was really worried, actually.
So now it's made perfectly clear.
Well, this is why you always have to do a brothy soup and like a crunchy grilled cheese sandwich. So you can do the dip-ums.
That's my shit.
You eat out the chunkums, and then you eat the dip-ums.
Can I do a Yahoo?
Yeah. Love soup.
Oh, top notch.
This is some revisionist history. You can't say that you don't eat the fucking broth and then say you love soup. That's like saying I love pizza, but I scrape all the shit off the crust and I just eat
mess. No, it's like low pressure regular food. It's like, hey, listen, I know what a bummer it is to try to figure out like what you're going to eat or how much you're going to eat or like how to get good proportions of bites or whatever. So we just dumped it in a vat for you. We're just serving it up straight.
Soup is food sweatpants.
This Yahoo was sent in by Irham Wisessa. Thank you, Irham. You're crushing it. It's from Yahoo Answers user. Sorry, something's gone wrong. I'm going to call him. It just got fucking deleted. I refreshed it. What the fuck? I just fucking refreshed the page and it got deleted. Why did it get deleted? It was totally innocuous. Well, now I got to go to the fucking Internet Archive and pull up this fucking deep web illegal question. This was not that fucking bad of a question. All right, pull that up. Let me grab the fucking cache. What the fuck, though? Seriously? And the cache isn't loading. So this one's... I lost it, guys. It just gone.
So what? Do you remember kind of what it was about?
F5. Give me the fucking text-only version. View source. Why is it gone?
I'm
literally looking at the fucking metadata. I'm looking at the fucking like meta name equals title content. This one, the data's not in the bucket. Is prod static true? Sorry, guys. I got to get into the fucking like hacker code. This is garbage from a toilet. This fucking sucks. All right, here we go. It was asked by Yahoo Answers user. Fucking Swordfish asks, shoes off at the door, a growing trend? I am fairly new to having a rule in our home that everyone takes off their shoes. Recently, I've been noticing that more and more people seem to be adopting the same practice in their home. I'm curious if anyone else is seeing this trend. What do you do in your home? Are shoes allowed? What about your guests? Now that we have the rule in our home, I really like it. What is common in your area? So another smooth transition. We're talking about doing things in the Japanese style. I think I could get into this. I don't enforce this in my home at all, and now I'm worried about sort of the grubbiness of our floors, and yeah, whether Griffin, or whether people are showing disrespect to me in my sort of my zone.
Griffy, normally in the Yahoo Answers portion here, it's stuff like I put pizza crust in my butt or Garfield head Pam bun.
Yeah, no, but I think this is more interesting to talk about of whether we should start all sort of enforcing a shoes off policy, because I on any walk from point A to point B, in no matter where you live, both rural and urban environments have their own sort of danger things. In an urban environment, you might step in like an old pile of soup that somebody just like dumped on the ground. But in a rural environment, you might actually step in a cow patty. And then I don't necessarily want you bringing the story of your walk into my home and sharing it with my floor. You know what I mean? Now that I'm thinking about this. And I'm not like a... I don't think I'm particularly germophobic at all. It's just like, you could bring anything from your journey into my place. And I'm walking on the floor in my bare feet because it's my zone. It's my little kingdom. And you know what I mean? Am I the only one here?
I feel like whenever someone... I never feel like it's an imposition when people ask me to remove my shoes, because I always feel like, oh, thank God. Like, finally, I can get comfortable and really explore the space, right?
Yeah.
So I would always prefer to take them off.
That's why I like, you know, you walk into a place, you know, just anybody's house, and they say, you know, take your shoes off, and they hand you a set of pajamas to change into.
Okay, so you went a little bit much there.
Yeah. No, and then, like, you all just, they've spread pillows on the floor, and everyone just takes a nap. Because this is apparently, we're all children now, and we can't, wear our fucking shoes indoors. No, I'm just kidding. This sounds great. Because I always wear funny socks, and okay, I never get to show them off.
Didn't mean jokes then.
It's like having a fourth brother. Just all the perspectives.
It's like you walk into the house and you fucking take your shoes off and they make you climb up a big tube and jump into a ball pit because it's apparently all big McDonald's play place. That was you just a minute ago. Well, but see, you know this is true.
Well, here's what I did, Griffin. I started to zig, right? And then what I did was I zagged because, and I'll go behind the zag here for a second, I realized that my funny joke might end up sounding mean towards cultures where taking shoes off is the norm.
Oh,
and so
I
zagged right out of it and made it a thing where I am actually on board with it.
Sort of a corrective zag.
Mm-hmm.
This has been Inside the Zag.
Here's what I like about this.
I'm Peter Graves. Welcome to Inside the Zag.
I like a lot about this. I think it's clean and good and respectful. I'm not going to bring my shoes journeys story all over your home where your baby is like definitely like licking the floor 24/7. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But also, this also introduces the concept of toilet slippers, which can be very, very exciting, because you do need to put those on when you go into that room, because who knows? I think we can all agree, like, no matter what, anything goes in the bathroom. So you put these special shoes on. And then people come out, and it's like a conversation starter. I enjoyed wearing those toilet slippers that you had in there. They were fun, and they were flirty and fashionable.
Yeah, I'm. You convinced me. I'm willing to take my shoes off in the house from now on.
Now, I think to really drive this home. By the way, why the fuck did this get deleted? Who at Yahoo?
This is actually the most innocuous question we've ever had on this TV show.
I know.
Our podcast. Sorry. What?
Is Yahoo owned by Big Nike? By Big Adidas?
By Big Carpet Wizards?
All day I dream about answering Yahoo Answers.
That got him. Nice.
It's just like, I think this is dope. And I think I'm going to actually invest in a little cubby. I'm going to invest in a shoe cubby. And when my friends come over, I can have little nameplates for my friends. Hi, Justin. Hi, Bristol. This is your special cubbies. Put your shoes in the hole.
You should take it one step further, Griffin.
Okay.
Special cubbies for shoes.
Yeah.
Then special, like, silly socks with the non-skid slip on the bottom.
Those will be an option, sure.
So that way it's like they can, because that's the thing. I have hardwood floors. So I don't want to brag, but I'm worried people, sometimes they have like
some sort of composite, up. Like some sort of composite or real genuine.
These are old, but I also rent. So listen, it's, you know, it's not a brag because it's not my house, but it's an old house. Okay. But I'm worried about people's dress socks on the hardwood floor. So I want to give them something where it's like, hey, they look like monster feet. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that defeats the purpose a little bit, but okay. I'm with you, kind of, but not really.
Like indoor shoes.
Okay.
So slippers.
It's what you've just described.
I'm sorry. Guys, I don't want them to slip around. I want to give them surer footing.
Stickers, then.
Stickers.
Sticky indoor shoes.
Hey, everybody, get inside. Get aboard.
Where are we going?
We're sailing away from this commerce-free wasteland. I'm taking you to a sweet little island that I know about. It used to be called Ballyhigh, and now I've renamed it the Money Zone. Someone who can talk should probably sell them.
All right.
Good things.
I'll do this first one because this first one is a good friend of mine named Harry, or specifically Harry's. What Harry's does is they send you razors, and the razors are very, very good, and they're very, very affordable, and they're going to give you a close, comfortable shave. They get, you're talking about 5 German engineered blades, talking about a lubricating strip, got a flex hinge there for a comfortable glide. It's really good blade. I use mine pretty much exclusively now to shave my face. I feel like I get a nice shave every time. And it was started by just two guys, Jeff and Andy, who were fed up with being overcharged for razors. So they cut out the middleman, and now they just sell their own high quality razors online and ship them directly to you for half the price of the leading brand. And they are so confident, they want you to try their most popular trial set for free. Comes with a free razor handle of your choice, 5 blade cartridge and shaving gel. And it's free when you sign up. You just pay a little fee for shipping, and you get these good blades. So to redeem your free trial offer, go to harrys.com/mybrother right now. That's harrys.com/mybrother. Go get that skin so soft, so smooth.
I would like to tell you guys about my underpants.
All right.
They're great. They are wonderful. I'm wearing them right now. They are endowing me with the confidence to talk about MeUndies. Here's the thing. We've talked about MeUndies so many times on the show, but maybe this is your first episode. Maybe you are just now getting into our show on episode 345.
Gotta start somewhere. Don't start at 1. Start here. Work backwards.
MeUndies is an amazing brand. I mean, like a concept.
Family member at this point.
At this point, they are. Their underpants are amazing. They're softer than soft. They not only have underpants for everybody, they also have sleep pants, t-shirts. It's incredible. Different styles, cool patterns. It's great. And it's the first thing you put on, and it's the last thing you take off. And you're gonna this is not a joke. It is not an exaggeration. When I put on a pair of MeUndies, like fresh out of the shower MeUndies, it feels like yes, I'm ready. It feels like yes. It does. It feels like I'm agreeing to do something with myself that day. And if you're not ready for a subscription, that's totally cool. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/mybrother, and you'll get 20% off your first pair. So go try it. You deserve it. MeUndies.com/mybrother.
I got a personal message here for Chambers and Dagley, and it's from
my favorite TNT show.
And it's from Chris. Nobody has a favorite TNT show, so stop it.
Mark Paul Gosselaar and
Mark Paul Gosselaar. Oh, Jesus. Chris says to Chambers,
"One's a lawyer. The other is a lawyer. Oh. They practice law in a court,
but a different kind. Well, it's the same branch of law.
The same kind of law. They're
one's a little bit wackier.
It's not
just a little bit. It's just a little bit.
No, absolutely not. They're just regular lawyers, and they're both lawyers, and they're good at their jobs, and they do their best. But they're not exceptional like House. They're just regular, yeah, regular and law guys.
They're looking for love in the big. They're not looking for love. What are they? What are they doing?
Are they single? Married. Are they single dads? No, they're not. I'm just hearing they're not single dads at all.
They're not single dads at all. There's no kids. And what are they doing? They're going to. Okay, so Dagley's going to the grocery store in this episode. Everybody, this is Dagley.
They didn't have a case this week. There's not. Okay.
All right. So
every week it's a new case. Well, not always.
Not always.
Actually,
yeah.
Time sometimes
off.
There's paperwork
from this one
to do.
And TNT this one, should just change their slogan to TNT, we know.
We know, come on. We have a show in which one episode a character just goes to Trader Joe's, and it's a whole episode, uncut. Uncut Trader Joe's visit. Okay,
and he
ends
up not getting anything.
No, he doesn't.
They didn't
he
have what
inside.
He needed.
He left his wallet at home.
That's a good episode. That's a good episode. That's good. Drama. TNT, we know drama. We have characters.
We know drama.
Okay, so
we
this
know drama. We've met him.
Boy, got to get this message out. This is from Chris to Chambers and Dagley, and Chris says, "Happy Blorf Day to my two Mabim Bam buddies I miss the most. I wish we didn't live about as far as three people can in the U.S., but I'm glad we can still get together online to slowly deconstruct the English language into a series of unrecognizable sounds. Hope you both have great B-days, and we get to play a bunch of Blabio glams soon and often." There's a lot of challenging sort of goof-em-ups on words in this one. Yeah. And this we got the time frame pretty much right on this one. So happy Blorf Day, Chambers and Dagley, and sorry we talked more about a fictional TNT show than we did about you, but kind
I have
of
a
part of the
for
course.
Yeah. You knew the job was dangerous when you took it. I got a message for PV, and it's from Apple Alligator, and it says, "Happy birthday and congratulations on finishing your thesis. I'm so proud of you. I love you and cannot wait to get some Jolly Pirate again."
Aw, damn.
Jolly Pirate donuts and gyros now sometimes.
What?
You want to go in there? Yep. It even added it to the sign. It's JP. It's the JP Deli.
Oh, no.
Featuring JP Deli starring donuts and also
I mean,
gyros.
The family that runs that place like already kicked donuts' ass, right? And so, like, when they needed a new challenge, I guess.
Yeah, they've conquered donuts. They put them in a treasure chest, which makes them more appetizing and humanly possible.
Yeah. Jesus, guys, it's 1:09 p.m. right where I am, and I have not eaten lunch yet. And we cannot talk more about donuts, or else I may actually
keep it. It's 2:09 p.m. here, and it feels like 10, and I'm dying.
Okay.
The Max Fun Drive is coming up.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, it's Justin McElroy
here. That's how we start talking about the Max Fun Drive with a little pep. Our step.
Can you just let me fucking get through the sentence? The Max Fun Drive is coming up, so fucking get ready. Brace your ass, because it's going to kick your ass right down your teeth. And what? It's going to be really good, and it's the best shows of the year, and all the shows are going to be fucking rock out and rock hard, and you're going to love every episode of everyone.
These beach bodies are ready.
Come crave the sweaty crevices of these hard abs.
Oh, my God.
In the podcast abs. Jesus. And it's coming. The Max Fun Drive doesn't have vertigo, but I do. And now it's time to listen to it next week. Catch it.
So it kicks off on the 20th, and it runs for 2 weeks. And we love you all so much because you all come out for us every year, and we appreciate it. And so, like,
rock hard.
It's very rock hard. And if you're a new listener and you like our stuff and you want to help support us, this is the best time to do it. And you get gifts if you do so. And we'll have bonus episodes for literally every show that we make,
and bonus episodes through the past,
to the past too. So yeah,
the whole.
If you're a new Mabim Bam listener and you get on board as a donating member, there will be fucking hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of content waiting for you for our show and all the other shows. I'm very partial to the Adventure Zone bonus episodes we've done that have been really, really fun. So yeah, it starts the 20th, runs for 2 weeks. We'll do some really good episodes for you and have some bonus shit and. Tell you how to support us and get some cool gifts for being a donor. And thank you all so much for how much you've supported us in the past, because you've allowed us to do some really, really fun stuff. So thank you all so much.
I have a problem. Last time we recorded, it was 2 weeks ago or three. No.
Who knows?
Yes.
It was before you left the Earth.
Before
and
I left.
Moved to Mother Sea.
Before you got on Nautical Time, where you measure time in clicks.
I created a great recurring bit where I basically just got an opportunity to talk about Guy Fieri and see what's going on with him.
Yeah.
and I can't remember what I called it. At first, I thought it was Fiery Walk With Me, but that was just something hilarious that I said a long time ago in a different life before the Sea Mother took me. And then I thought it was Guy in the Sky, but that doesn't make any sense.
No, I don't think that was it.
I think it was Guy Focused.
Guy Focused. No, Guy Another Day.
Guy Another Day, I think it was. Yes.
And then I have an important Guy Another Day update. Although I kind of want to... This is called Guy Another Day / Fiery Walk With Me. Because I don't want to lose either one of those. They're both very good.
Okay.
When I was still... This is from a listener. Travis didn't credit them. It's from Evan. Did they want to be anonymous?
It's Evan G.
Evan G. While I was still in college, they opened a Guy Fieri restaurant on campus. In December of that year, I think, Guy Fieri... himself came to my college for a book signing.
He wrote a
book?
On
a table what?
He's published?
On a table behind the one guy was using to sign the book, there was a giant ice bucket with a single Heineken in it. At Guy's command, one woman would bring the ice bucket to his signing table. He would take a little sip from the Heineken and put it back into this ice bucket. The woman responsible for the bucket would then immediately move it back behind him and bring it back and forth whenever Guy wanted to drink his one single Heineken.
This is a lot.
It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to take in.
I don't want to waste any Heine. Just one at a time, please.
So, one thing I will say is, okay, I will say this. In Mr. Fieri's defense, sometimes when you go into situations like this, the setup of the situation is not of your own creation, but just happens to be whatever the person putting the thing together thought would be good. Yeah. So you end up in situations that feel like weird. Like we had people when we were shooting our TV show that would just like run bottles of water up to us sometimes. And then we would say like, oh, we could have gotten our own water, but thank you very much for doing this. So you don't always like, but we never demanded water. Until later on in shooting,
we got really big heads,
really big heads. But like, maybe he didn't craft this. I will say though that had someone put us in this exact scenario, we probably would have said, "This isn't a great look. I would prefer you did not with this."
On the subject of Guy Fieri being published, of course he has many cookbooks under his belt, and I'd like to read
seven.
I'd like to read some of them because they include Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. What's the full title? Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, an All-American Road Trip with recipes, okay? More Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, a drop-top culinary cruise through America. That's fine.
Griffin. It's through America's finest and funkiest joints.
You're right. Sorry, Travis. It got cut off for me. Here's another one. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, the funky finds in Flavortown, America's classic joints and killer comfort food. Just a lot. Just a lot, sir. And then sort of we start paring down just a little bit. Guy on Fire, 130 recipes for adventures in outdoor cooking. That's a good one. And then we get Guy Fieri Family Food, 125 real deal recipes, kitchen tested, home approved is a good one. And then we keep going down and down and down, sort of the word slide to fun and food with Guy Fieri. And then finally, we just sort of land on Guy Fieri Food is the name of this book.
Well, sorry, Griffin, subtitled cooking it, living it, loving it.
Guy Fieri Food. And then just the next one's just going to be like Guy Food. And then finally, Guslop is the final one, the final entry.
These are all available on Amazon. You can get
them all.
Six books, and then the seventh is the book and DVD bundle. And just word of warning, Guy Fieri Food, cooking it, living it, loving it, isn't a cookbook. I think it's a dark and gritty detective novel.
With himself as the detective, and I would read that so fucking hard. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Private
Guy. Excellent job.
He's eating food.
Private Dick would be just as powerful, I guess. Listen. I don't know that. I shouldn't say these things.
No, he has a very secret dick. I understand.
I've never seen Guy. Hey, raise your hands if you've seen Guy Fieri's dick. I bet it's a pretty small club.
From scratch, it's the Unauthorized History of the Food Network, and I'm just entered the dawn of Guy. And they said that there's a whole section about how he was a little green when he started, in that he didn't really know what a diner was. He thought it was like code for a hamburger restaurant because he didn't grow up around a lot of diners. And also, when he were filming one of the early episodes, a chef referred to chicken soup as Jewish penicillin. And Guy Fieri just lost his fucking mind because he thought the chef made that joke up. Okay. So he was just like losing it at this hilarious, hilarious joke. So that's been Guy in the Sky / Fieri Walk With Me / Guy Another Day.
All right, okay. Justin, do the next question.
You got it, brother. So my friend, we'll call him Oswald, has been telling us for the last decade or so that he is horribly, deathly allergic to red meat and that his throat will close up and he will die if he consumes any. The other day, I walked into the room and he was chomping down on some chips and queso. The kind of... I know this is a typo, which we don't normally highlight, but the question asker did type the kind of quest with beef in it. And I know they mean queso, but I prefer that.
I like the kind of quest when with I dive beef in it. When I dive into a bowl of hot peppered cheese, it is kind of a quest for me. That is, and the reward for that quest is going to be toilet time.
I checked the container he got the queso in, and it told me it was, in fact, true beef.
Season 3.
With Mark Paul Gosselaar
and fucking Paul Giamatti.
One's a cop. The other's a cop.
True. They're both by the book.
This now, is... are we doing a True Blood thing or a True
Detective? I thought we were doing a True Detective. Or
Paul Giamatti's a vampire. Mark Paul Gosselaar is also a vampire.
But very straight-laced.
Super cool. Okay, so in fact, he was eating true beef. He isn't dead, and it has me wondering, what the fuck is going on? And how would I go about confronting Oswald about this weird thing? That's from Beefing in Baltimore, a name that Travis made up.
Everybody's got to get the drop on someone. Like, everyone's got, it's an exciting feeling, I know. When you think in your mind that you have an opportunity to get the drop, it's exciting, and I get that. But I don't know necessarily why you need to, like, put your buddy on blast. I don't know why this is like, oh boy, time to really put Oswald in his place.
Here's why, just to give the question asker a little bit of credit. This isn't like someone saying, oh, I'm gluten intolerant. And when you really press them about it, like they just don't want to eat bread or whatever, but they're just making that. Why would someone be like, yeah, red meat, it will kill me.
Okay.
If I eat, like, why would you say that if it weren't true?
Maybe you live in a fairly small town and your only two restaurant options are Sizzler and BW3's. And of course, this person wants to go to BW3's and get those good hot chicken wings. And so this is their thing.
But that's just a lie.
Okay. Well, maybe they're not allergic to ground beef. And I don't know. There's a lot of different explanations for
this. Do you think once they grind it, sorry, they grind it and then it's no longer an allergen? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, it changes sort of it lets out whatever, you know, carbon dioxide is just sort of released when you grind up the meat, and the carbon dioxide goes up into the atmosphere and makes the ozone layer, I think,
this
or something.
This is a problem. This is one of the problems with 20 Grifting. We didn't really think through it, but a lot of people started grifts in 2015, but we didn't necessarily have an off-ramp for all those grifts. You know, some of you might, we told you the con was off, but like for many of you, the con may still will indeed be on.
Yeah.
You just don't know how to get out of it.
It wasn't like January 1st, 2016, people were like, should all the acquaintance be, I can eat red meat, by the way, got you, motherfucker. And days of auld lang syne.
That would have been, by the way, you didn't need us to help you find that. That would have been amazing.
That would have been really
good.
You
all should have done that. If you didn't do that, then it's on you.
I would like to paint you a picture that makes this all make sense to me. It's so clear to me now. All of the elements have been uncovered, and I can see everything. I see how it all connects. What happened was someone who did not know Oswald's allergy bought him some of the most delicious queso they had ever had. And Oswald accepted it as a gift because Oswald was too polite to say, are you trying to kill me? And there it sat in Oswald's, fridge. And on the same day this queso was about to expire, Oswald realized their EpiPen was also about to expire. And they thought, well,
Okay.
Let's not let either go to waste. And so in one hand, chips, in left hand, EpiPen.
Okay. So you get a good dunk. And it would probably be a pretty fucking good dunk, I think. Like, if you need to fucking, like, if after consuming it, you have to also just pop in the bezoar to, like, sort of nullify the meat poisons, it's probably, like, a pretty good bite of food, I bet. A lot of people pay a lot of money to go to, like, a restaurant that is certified to serve you fugu fish. And this is, like, this experience just for, like, for a Whopper. You know what I mean?
How much of the Whopper would you eat? Would you risk eating before you put the
I would try to cram basically the whole kit and caboodle.
As much as I could.
Yeah.
Why would you lie about being...
Maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they were fucking Rachel went to the doctor when she was like 7 and they were like she was sick with something. They're like, oh, well, it's because you can't ever have chocolate. And so for like fucking 14 years, like Halloween's no chocolate, no candy. Like she would go and go trick or treating and I guess just throw it all in the dumpster or something. And then like when she was 20, they're like, oh, nope, guess we wanged it. You can have chocolate and you could have had chocolate this whole time. And maybe this person was told they can't have red meat. So they just didn't eat red meat for a long time. This is a great, you have great news for them. Great news. Beef it up. Go beef crazy. This is, you get to be the messenger for probably the best news this person will ever receive in their entire life, which is go have a beef party. You've earned it.
Do you think there could be something in the melted cheese that like neutralizes the
Jesus,
toxins?
Travis. Yes, definitely. Jesus,
I'm
Travis,
no,
of
I'm
course.
I'm no scientist.
No, yes, you are though.
There's a tick called the Lone Star tick. That if it bites you, you can develop an allergy to red meat.
Horrible news. Thank you for that one.
Have you ever heard such a thing? So keep, I guess I just said that so you would know it. So keep your head on a fucking swivel, I guess. And be sure to interview ticks to make sure they're not that kind. Because that would sure be the pits, huh? You know what? Allergies are weird, though. Allergies can come and go. You never know. They're very.
Oh, wait. Hold on, Justin. Griffin,
yeah,
sit
I'm
back.
Saying, this put
is,
yourself
this
to
is
limits.
Justin's tight five on allergies. Hold
okay,
on.
Okay, here we
go.
Justin, sorry. Go nuts.
Let me just tell you guys a little something. I co-host a medical history podcast called Sawbones, so I'm half a doctor, pretty much. And let me just say that, like, refuse to have allergies. This is what I'm saying to you. Do not let yourself be bound by your allergies. Just refuse to have them. I used to be allergic to cats, and I wanted a sweet cat of my own, of my very own. You know what I did? I just decided to not be allergic anymore. And today, I'm here to tell you that I'm not allergic to cats anymore, and I cured myself of my allergies.
You're an inspiration.
I'm not going to lie to you. A lot of people lie to you and say you can cure your allergies with diet and different things like that, or crystals or whatever, herbs.
I love every time we take one step closer to having a cult. Yes. I love it. You know, it makes me feel like we're finally doing something.
How many
with
cults
our time.
Started as a joke and then people just kept coming and then they're like, I guess we need guns because this is getting very. this got very.
There's 30
real.
Of there's 30 of us. I guess we need
should
guns
get guns.
Can I do one last Yahoo real quick?
We're running pretty long, but oh my god, my desk is tilted 45 degrees sideways.
That's
Justin. We've only been recording for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't fuck with me right now, please. Not like this. I just had to change my clock on my computer because it was 3 hours slow.
Oh, geez.
Oh, god.
Real quick, this is a level 9000 Yadru Juju Davenport joint, so you know it's going to be good. It's from Yahoo Answers user dedicated to evolution who asks.
Nice.
When you go to the bathroom in a movie theater, can you ask a stranger what you missed? Now let's pretend that Run P is an app that doesn't exist and hasn't solved this problem for us. But I when I read this, I guess they're talking about just you pop back into the theater and you sit down next to somebody. It's like, hey, what happened? And I think that's unacceptable. You do that shit in the draft house and you get sent the fuck home. I think there could be an attendant, this is the only sort of bathroom attendant sort of situation that I would be cool with, where you go in, you use the potty, and then you go and you're washing your hands. And while you're washing your hands, you're like, okay, so what did I miss? And say you were seeing a rival, and it's just like, Amy Adams and Hawkeye, they had a conversation in the dark. All right, cool. Thank you.
Griffin, I do want to point out, I love this, but I do want to point out, this would require a human being to know concurrently what's happening in every movie at the same time.
Yeah. No, they would memorize.
What are you seeing? You're seeing Logan? Okay, the 7:45 showing. So right now. All right. Yeah.
Okay, let me think about it. Let me play it in my mind palace. And okay, I'm pretty sure Professor X and Wolverine just had a conversation in the dark.
Yeah, I would much prefer they would.
Why is it always that?
Because half of every movie that comes out, and I've been watching a lot of movies because I've just been consuming a lot of content because I live at home forever now. Is just half of all movies is just conversations in the dark now. And I saw Arrival, and it was like most of that movie was just people having dark room convos. So,
have you guys also gotten very aware of movies being, as long as we're talking about this, now since you've had babies, have you become very aware of movies that are unable to properly mix sound?
Oh my
and
god,
dialogue?
In heaven. It's just right. Fucking Amy Adams is like, I don't know how to have a communication with these aliens. And Jeremy Renner's like, yeah, I know, it's weird, isn't it? Just shouting and yelling at Amy Adams.
Then there's a space explosion.
Yeah.
I've been rewatching West Wing, and every episode ends like the most dramatic, and everyone's like, yeah, we're going to war.
Blazing. Twin Peaks is the worst about it. Twin Peaks is like very quiet, like Agent Dale Cooper, and then we did solve the mystery. And then like the sound of the devil is screaming. It's like, well, this is pretty spooky, but mainly because I have to watch it with a toddler now. Thank you, David. I think it'd be better if the usher in the bathroom just pulled open his vest and he had a small screen in there and it was just synced to wherever you left off. That would be better and more believable, I think, to me. If you could just pulled open his vest and there was a screen for this you to continue watching the film.
This is a thing that I've actually, in live theaters, I've seen before, that one, there's a screen out in the lobby, but also I've seen, or heard rather, they pipe the sound through the bathroom, so while you're in the bathroom, you can still hear the play going on.
See, yeah. I could have used this when we first saw Hamilton, and I very much, very almost, nearly did shit my pants during it because I did not want to miss a second of our friend Lynn's good play, and so
worked very hard on it.
He worked really, really hard on it, and so like by the time Battle Yorktown rolled around, my world was almost turned upside down, and I was very
my
much...
underwear was turned inside out.
the shorts turned inside out. But I was very much like, okay, yeah, can we please just beat the British already? Go,
do it. Here's machine guns.
Here's machine guns, just go. We gotta sneak up on them and reconnoiter the hills, and then we're gonna come up with a plan. No, just shoot them all, please. I don't want to be the first person to ever shit their pants at Hamilton. Please.
You wouldn't have been, Griffin. Don't worry.
Please, hurry up.
Mr. Washington, I'm not sure we can do it. You can!
You can
trust
do
me on
it!
This one.
And then we won the war. Oh, thank God. Time for intermission. Now, here's what we did after the war. Please! Please, 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 God, please! No, come on, please!
This has been our comedy podcast, my brother, and me. If you have some free time, we have so many delightful offerings for you. I guested on Court Appointed, which is a legal show explaining the law. I guess it was sort of a co-branded episode with another show I do, Sawbones. It was about HIPAA and patient privacy. That show is called Court Appointed. You can find it on iTunes. Also, the Grifster and I did something really fun.
Oh, yeah.
We appeared on a YouTube show called Drawfee. It's DRAWFEE. And we helped create the hottest new board game. And it's really fun as we sort of created it with the Drawfee fellas. They drew our dumb board game idea, which is actually a really sick board game idea, by the by. Check YouTube for Drawfee and you'll find it.
As long as you're on YouTube, I also, my friend and co-host of Trends Like These, Brent, has made a party game called Use Your Words, and me and Tybee and some friends and Brent played it when he was in town visiting me, and we filmed the whole thing, and he did some Q&As in there. So you can see us play the game and try it out. Just go to his YouTube channel, Brentalfloss, and you can find it there. It was super fun. It's coming out soon. Use your words. And he hasn't asked me to plug this or anything. I'm just very proud of him and of the product, and it's really good. And, of course, you can also check out my film review series, Carry On.
Jesus.
Still suck at episode 2. I need to record episode 3.
Got it's hard to get over that hump, man.
It really is. But you
What was episode 2?
Episode 2 was Copper Mountain, a two-hander with Jim Carrey and Alan Thicke that contains very little story, and it's mostly it's actually called Copper Mountain, a Club Med adventure or Club Med experience.
Are you shitting me?
I am not. It is both movie and infomercial for Club Med. It contains 9 different musical numbers in a 45-minute long made-for-TV movie.
Oh, boy.
It is a real treat.
You can watch all our shit at macroshows.com. We have all our podcasts and stuff there. You can also go to
Carry On. I don't know.
You
know,
you should. I think maybe once you get to 3 apps, you can put it on macroshows.com. Yeah.
I'm really close. Actually, a listener sent me the next 4 movies. I have them all sitting next to me.
Well, don't spoil what they're going to be or talk about Carry On anymore.
Okay. Well, it's a film-by-film review of Jim Carrey's career.
It's a very exciting new property. You can also go to MaximumFun.org and check out all the great shows on MaximumFun.org. And we're going to be talking a lot about Maximum Fun over the next couple weeks during the Max Fun Drive, which kicks off Monday, March 20th, and runs for 2 weeks. And we're so happy to be a part of this network, and I'm so grateful to all of you for helping support it. I also want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song as a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Juice, you got to hang out on that big, beautiful ocean with John Roderick.
Yes, never enough time, but he's a solid dude as always.
He's the best dude. Anything else?
Yeah, we also should say, one, we have a TV show on CISO.com if you haven't already checked that out. They're constantly, like every Monday, putting up new bonus content. The deleted scene, or was it the blooper? The bloopers for episode 2 is 17 minutes long.
It's a lot.
So check that out, CISO.com. And then also, we're going to be in Portland this weekend doing
Fuck, I can't believe that's now.
So if you're going to be at the show and you want us to do a question, make sure you email it to us with Portland Show in the subject line. And just to be clear, we didn't organize this show, so we're not sure about like meet and greet or anything like that. So we can't promise anything, but we are going to have posters made at the show.
They'll be made before. Those. They're not going to be like printers running while we do our unique brand of comedy up on stage.
Yeah,
and that's done for us by Emily, who is at Corrupted Gym on Twitter.
They're really great. Really I'm great. Very excited.
Yeah, I can't wait.
You want that final?
Yes. Hell yeah.
Sent in by a couple folks, actually. Level 9000, Yaju, Drew Davenport, and Christopher Lockhart. Thank you both. It's from Yahoo Answers user Steven asks, will the Loch Ness Monster get into Christian heaven?
Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported. Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
Maximum Fun has asked us to make a new promo, and I think the best way to do it is to tell people what our show's about.
Oh, that's pretty easy. The Greatest Generation is a hybrid podcast that guarantees you a good night's sleep with a combination of both latex foam and memory foam.
No, it's actually a show that allows you to skip the post office by printing out your own postage.
No, it is a podcast that allows you to design websites by using award-winning templates.
Ben, it is most definitely not that. The Greatest Generation is a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast.
New episodes come out every week on Maximum Fun or wherever you download podcasts.